Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for blessing us today with wisdom and understanding from your word. Draw us unto yourself, Lord. Set us free to worship you the way you please, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Okay. I'm going to call this Overcoming Through the Power of Praise. And first we're going to look at the Biblical Worship and Praise. Okay? Vine's Expository Dictionary says the Greek word for worship is to make obeisance, do reverence to, and it's from pros, which means towards, and kuneo, which means to kiss. In other words, to kiss towards. It is the most frequent word rendered to worship, and it is used of an act of homage or reverence. In other words, worship is an act of love towards God, to kiss towards. And Father is looking for those who worship Him with all of their hearts. John 4:21 says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Well, obviously there's a bunch of fake worship out there. Words without heart and spirit. True worship is with the mouth and heart and sometimes even the feet and the fear of God. Okay? Isaiah 29:13, and the Lord said, For as much as this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men, which hath been taught them. Well, this is faking worship. You're doing it because everybody else is, you know, you're wanting to be accepted by them. It's God we have to impress, right? Worship is the way to bring God's presence. Psalm 101:1-5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. A joyful noise? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. In other words, this is how you begin your service to God. Give thanks unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his loving kindness endureth forever, and his faithfulness unto all generations. And worshiping brings health. Proverbs 17:22 says, A cheerful heart is a good medicine, which is a bad translation. The Hebrew word is a healing. But a broken spirit drieth up the bones. Amen. A healing. Worship brings freedom. And freedom and humility should bring worship. Acts 16:25 says, But about midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. So, it can make you free, right? And Daniel 4:37 says, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, For all his works are truth, and his ways justice. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And he knew how, right? Worship reveals our love and our admiration for God. And he knows it. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God. Earnestly will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and a weary land where no water is. In other words, praise comes from the Hebrew word hallel, meaning to brag or boast about, like this is doing, right? In 2 Samuel 7 and 22, we read, Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God besides thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And 1 Chronicles 29:11, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Amen. Command your depressed soul to praise and worship God. Psalm 42:11 says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Praise him. Worship only the true God and no other thing as God. 1 John 2:15 says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Many people, you know, are distracted with these things. They think they're more important than God and worshiping God. False. Exodus 20:22 says, I am the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yeah, no thing before me. Verse 4, Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them. It reminds me of people who keep their car immaculate and polished and glowing and so on and so forth. Nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Amen. Well, praise him everywhere with a new song, one that comes from your heart, and dancing with instruments. Psalm 149:1-down, it says, Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Amen. In the shower too. Psalm 150:1-6 says, Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with psaltery and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. How many various ways can we praise the Lord? And it's written in the Word, you know. This is what we need to emulate, right? It is the will of the Lord to worship in songs and hymns. Ephesians 5:17-20 says, "Wherefore, be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunken with wine wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Worship in tongues and with understanding." 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." Yeah, singing in tongues. So, worship when you don't feel like it, right? It's a sacrifice. Habakkuk 3:17 says, "For though the fig tree shall not flourish, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise, as we'll see, means to brag on, right? You're bragging on God. And you can brag on Him to everyone and give Him credit for everything. 1 Chronicles 16:23, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Ascribe unto the Lord, you kindreds of the peoples. Ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in holy array." I think ascribe means to give credit to the Lord, you know, in worship, right? And holy array here, I believe, represents the righteous acts of the saints, as in Revelation 19, the bride having that glowing garment. And it's actions that make that glowing garment, right? 30, "Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let them say, among the nations, the Lord reigneth." Amen. Worship and praise will conquer overwhelming enemies. 2 Chronicles 20:17, you're very familiar with this. "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So they can fall down, they can, face to the ground, they can, you know. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with an exceeding loud voice. Some people don't act now loud. They think it's not called, they call it decently and in order. But it's really dead. When you look at them, you know exactly what they're talking about. Verse 20, And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed them that should sing unto the Lord and give praise in holy array as they went out before the army, and say, Give thanks unto the Lord, for his loving kindness endureth forever. They were giving thanks before the battle. And the military wasn't out front. The praisers were. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set liers in wait against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Mm-hmm. So you overcome your enemies, even overwhelming odds, by praise. So worship to bind the enemy and their kings. Psalm 149, 6 through 9. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. What does that mean, the high praises? And the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all of his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Because judgment and enemies are near, we need to fear God and worship him. Revelation 14 and 7 says, And he saith with a great voice, Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And Daniel 3 and 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And 2 Kings 17 and 38 and 39 says, And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God shall you fear, and he will deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. So we can clap and shout our triumph over enemies. Triumph is celebrating the victory before you see it. In this case, Psalm 47 and 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye peoples. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Yeah. And Joshua 6 and 20 says, So the people shouted, and the priests blew trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen. We also celebrate the Lord's triumphs in worship. Exodus 15 and 20, 21 says, And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Yes, celebrate the victory. We are taught to worship, praise, and pray with hands lifted up to the Lord. Some people don't like that. Well, so what? You're wanting to please the Lord, right? Psalm 63 and 4 says, So will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire, therefore, that the men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands without wrath and disputing. Lamentations 3:41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Nehemiah 8:6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with the lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Yes, that's legal too. So why lifting up hands? I think offering our hands to the Lord is for his works and to conquer his enemies. Exodus 17:9-10 says, well, I'll go a little bit further than that. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. They held up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So we raise our hands in praise when we grieve over sin or bondage to conquer these enemies. 1 Kings 8:38 says, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, who shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands towards this house? 2 Chronicles 6:29-30. What prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, who shall know every man his own plague and his own sorrow, and shall spread forth his hands towards this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of the children of men. So we worship and praise to break the curse, as we can see. Exodus 9:29 says, and Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord. The thunders shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know that the earth is the Lord's. Yeah. Spread abroad his hands unto the Lord. Humbling oneself is a part of worship. Revelation 4:8. I would say through maybe 11. And the four living creatures, having each one of them six wings and full of eyes round about and within, and they have no rest day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. And when the living creatures shall give glory and honor and thanks to him that sitteth on the throne, to him that liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders shall fall down before him that sitteth on the throne, and shall worship him that liveth forever and ever, and shall cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they were and were created. Again, praise in Hebrew is halal, meaning to brag on the Lord. And this could be to give credit or ascribe to the Lord. Psalm 29 and 1, ascribe unto the Lord, O ye sons of the mighty. Ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. There's that holy array again. So when you go to church, make sure you're in holy array. Repent of any sins. Confess your sins. And God's grace and his mercy in worship is needed for his favor. It's good to confess all sins before a worship and praise session. Nehemiah 9 and 1 says, Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of the of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God a fourth part of the day, and another fourth part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites and said, Stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou art the Lord, even thou alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are thereon, and the seas and all that is in them. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. How much more us, right? An offering of service is worship, right? Hebrews 12 and 28. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service. Offer service, sometimes translated as worship. Well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. Service. We serve God in worship, right? For our God is a consuming fire. In Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Sometimes translated as worship. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Well, notice that worship should be a sacrifice of flesh. It should be a service, right? Worship is an active response to the character, words, and actions of God, initiated by his revelation and enabled by his redemption, whereby the mind is transformed. In other words, belief and repentance, right? The heart is renewed. In other words, love, trust, and actions are surrendered. In other words, obedience of service. All in accordance with his will and in order to declare his infinite worthiness. Wow. Okay. So, in both Hebrew and Greek, there are two categories of words for worship. The first is about body language that demonstrates respect and submission, to bow down, and to kneel, to prostrate oneself. And the second is about doing something for God that demonstrates sacrifice and obedience, to offer, to serve. Here's a biblical words for worship in Hebrew. Shacha, Strong's Concordance, Number 7812, this term literally means to depress or prostrate oneself, and is translated in the King James Version of the Old Testament as worship 100 times, bow down 54 times, do obeisance 9 times, do reverence 5 times, fall down, Psalm 72:11, Isaiah 45:14, crouch, 1 Samuel 2:36, humbly beseech, 2 Samuel 16:4, or make to stoop, Proverbs 12:25. And another is abad, strong concordance, number 5647. And this term literally means to work in any sense, but by implication, to serve or enslave. It is used more than 250 times in the Old Testament, most often translated as serve, and 31 times in conjunction with sechot, what we just read. And however, 3 times the translators of the ESV chose the word worship. 2 Samuel 15:8, Psalm 102:22, Isaiah 19:21. So just to give you a broad idea, you know. Some foolishly believe that self-control prohibits freedom to worship in a biblical way. How ridiculous. After what we've read so far, even, you know. But self-control stops the flesh from hindering freedom to worship. The flesh does not want to worship. Therefore, you must buffet it, which means hitting it with blows. You know, do things that are contrary to the flesh, right? 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run, that you may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air. But I buffet my body, and I bring it into bondage. In other words, you bring your old self-life into bondage. Lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. You make it do what you, the spirit man, want it to do, and what God wants it to do. We must have freedom to do that. Or God would not command it. Actions are surrendered in worship to the Holy Spirit, but the flesh doesn't like to worship. Just to share a couple of instances with you, at a Pentecostal-type church in Louisiana, when I was young in the Lord, the congregation would run around the auditorium and praise the Lord and shout to the Lord with great freedom. Sometimes the whole church would be running around praising the Lord. Now, I'm not making any laws here for an order of worship. That's up to the Lord. He's our guide, right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, right? But a lot of people told me the church was carnal, you know, not having been there themselves, because they did that in the flesh. Well, when I went there, just to see what was going on, I had the distinct impression that the Lord wanted me to go against my flesh and buffet my body and my shyness and to crucify it. It didn't matter to me that they might not begin in the Spirit. It mattered that they would crucify their flesh, and I wouldn't. So it is of the Spirit that we put to death our flesh, which doesn't want to worship God boldly, and like the examples that we see in scriptures, right? Well, they had a couple of rooms in that building, and all the men would go into one room, and the women would go into another room, and they would turn down the lights. Then they would run up and down in the room, praising and worshiping the Lord. I went in there, and I just decided that I was going to put my flesh to death, and I started running and jumping up and down with them and praising the Lord. And I discovered that it was good for me, because even though I didn't start it in the spirit, I was doing it against the flesh. It was really a blessing for me to be freed up and not to worry about what people thought. Amen? So in another Pentecostal church, I experienced freedom to worship. You know, let me say, in the Old Testament, they had this freedom to worship. When they weren't filled with the Spirit, what happens to people when they are filled with the Spirit? Shouldn't they do even so more? Right? So in this other Pentecostal church, I experienced freedom to worship. I saw some tremendous miracles there. I didn't agree with all their doctrine. It didn't make any difference. I was learning a lesson on worship, right? So in their big auditorium, this guy jumped up on the front pew and took off running on the backs of the pews with his eyes closed. So he ran the length of the auditorium as fast as he could from pew to pew, and he was missing people all the way, and he had his eyes closed. And there was a balcony in the back of the church, and I was sitting right where the balcony came down. So I saw that his eyes were solidly closed. He ran up to the balcony, and just before he bashed his head into it, he gracefully ducked, and he kept on running. And of course, that could only have been done in the spirit. Then there was released in the church a wave of excitement and freedom and joy in worship as they beheld this worship with feet too, you know. They had another lady who was moved to dance going backwards. She would dance as she intermittently bowed down all the way to the floor. In other words, every few feet she would bow to the floor and come back up. And she started running backwards, not seeing where she was going. She would run backwards down the stairs of the choir. This is truly not walking by sight here, or running by sight, or dancing by sight, right? She would run backwards down the stairs of the choir, all the way around the auditorium, never bumping. I mean, it was a feat to see her come down them steps going backwards. All the way around the auditorium, never bumping into a thing. And then all the way back up. And that was in the spirit. I saw people jump out of the choir loft. I'm talking just with the joy of the Lord. And land on the other side of the altar. And run at top speed around the corners of the pews. In other words, all the way around the pew section, without ever slowing down. The whole congregation would just bust loose in praise when somebody would do something like that. It reminded me of David dancing before the Lord in worship. And when the Spirit hit one man, he'd jump off of the choir loft, clearing the altar in one leap, right? Amazing, amazing. One leap. And take off running when he landed on the floor. I would watch him running down one side, and by the time I turned my head the other way, he was coming up the other side. One day I saw him run down the aisle with his eyes closed and jump over a small child who was playing in the aisle. He never broke stride, and he just kept on running. And that's definitely what we would call in the Spirit. It just excited everyone in the building to worship and praise the Lord. Now let me make a point here. They weren't doing this while the teaching was going on. They didn't interrupt anything of the Spirit. It was during worship and praise and giving thanks to God. They didn't bust out laughing when somebody was giving a very serious message, like I've seen in some churches where it was not the Spirit of God, it was demons. Okay? We need to humble ourselves. We need to come against our flesh so that we won't worry about what the other people around us are thinking. God expects us to worship Him in front of other people, just as this verse says. Matthew 10 and 32, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven." We need to break loose in spirit and worship. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such doth the Father seek to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And as we've seen, if you start worshiping freely, it will make it easier for the other person to do it too. And I'm not necessarily talking about jumping pews, but you have to start going against your flesh. You know, we sang a song yesterday in praise and worship, and there was dancing going on, and I danced too, you know, before the Lord. And people were just so full of joy, and then other people started dancing and before the Lord, and Romans 8 and 6, "For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Your flesh is the enemy of God. That's what it's saying. It is the oppressor. You have to put it to death. David's wife chastised him for worshiping in dance before the ark. But he rebuked her. You know, he said, "I'm going to do it more so." So we've seen Jesus the Holy Spirit in the form of fire. And big angels join us in worship and study here at UBM. And we've seen Jesus lay hands on people more than once when we were worshiping. And when I was young in the Lord, outside of LSU college campus, we had a place of Bible study and worship for the students. And I personally witnessed the glory cloud of the Lord's presence enter from the center of the room. And it was there when people were lost in worship. That's when it happened. They were just lost in worshiping the Lord, praising and praying to God. Exodus 33 and 9, "And it came to pass when Moses entered into the tent, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tent. And the Lord spake with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud stand at the door of the tent, and all the people rose up and worshiped, every man at his tent door." Hallelujah is translated, "Praise ye the Lord." But this is a command. And doing praise is more than repeating this command. As we saw, praise is the Hebrew word hallel, meaning to brag or boast about, and is applied to stating who the Lord is with all of his attributes and his works for us, which are finished. And we who see the end from the beginning and walk by faith should praise him for what we don't yet see in the physical realm, because we're walking in the Spirit, right? Psalm 149, 1 through 9. "Praise ye the Lord. It is from Hallelujah. So how does he want us to praise him? Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. A new song? Yeah, it doesn't have to be one that's written or whatever, you know. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. There it is. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek, that's the meek, notice, with salvation. Let the saints exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Amen. Praise defeats the enemy. Verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishment upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. And what does he say? Praise ye the Lord. So, hallelujah. Let us praise the Lord for draining the swamp in church and government. There's a lot of dead churches out there, folks. They're just dead. They don't praise the Lord. I don't care if they think that singing is praising the Lord. Praise defeats the enemy. Psalm 8, 2 through 6. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast established strength. Now this text in Matthew 21 and 16, instead of strength here, it's praise. Praise and strength, notice. Because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Yeah, to cause the devil to shut up, right? Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. As also says Hebrews, but the people don't believe it with their heart, right? So Jesus is saying establishing strength is by perfected praise. And what was this perfected praise that was directed at Jesus? Hosanna. This means in Hebrew, save, we pray. We have discovered that save in the Greek is sozo, and it means much more than people know. It is used of being saved, being healed, being delivered from demons, delivered from catastrophes, etc. And the noun soteria means all my needs supplied like a little child. So, Hosanna is perfect praise that acknowledges Jesus as the Savior in all things. And it establishes his strength to save. Here's some verses that we recently received in our morning meeting by faith at random. Psalm 27, 1 through 6, a song of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers come upon me to eat up my flesh, even mine adversaries and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Well, as Psalm 149 shows, praise conquers our enemies, spiritual and physical. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, even then will I be confident. We got a war coming, folks. Will you be confident? And Jehoshaphat's army followed the praisers into battle against three armies, which fell before them without a weapon being raised, except for praise. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me secretly in his pavilion. In the covert of his tabernacle will he hide me. He will lift me up upon a rock. So Father will protect and hide us from our enemies. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about, and I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And Psalm 22, 1 through 5, which is the Psalm of David. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's Jesus, of course, quoted that. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou answerest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not put to shame. So, the Lord inhabits our praises to deliver us from our enemies, spiritual and physical. Think about it, right? Psalm 22, 22 through 31. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all ye the seed of Israel. Well, notice we glorify him by declaring his name in praise. Name in Hebrew and in Greek both mean nature, character, and authority. And we praise him like this in the midst of the assembly, which is the easiest place to praise him because, you know, people expect that. But when we look at Scripture, we see that they declared the Word, who is Jesus, to the greater assembly of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then, of course, to the lost world of the Gentiles. So we must do the same. It is a precedent in Scripture. I don't know if you ever saw a Hezekiah Walker video where their congregation went out in the middle of a street in an intersection in downtown, and they praised God on the streets, and bystanders joined in. Remember our missionaries in prayer and warfare who declare his salvation in the midst of hateful people. And we do too, in the midst of hateful people. So, continuing on with Psalm 22, I'm going to read 24 on down. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. Of thee cometh my praise in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seeketh after him. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the ruler over the nations. So God is big enough to bring all of this to pass, right? And we should praise him. Verse 29, all the fat ones of the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he that cannot keep his soul alive. A seed shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord unto the next generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done it. And shall we not do the same? Mm-hmm. 1 Chronicles 16 and 35 says, and say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. And triumph means to celebrate the victory. And by the way, we celebrate the victory by faith before we see the victory, right? Because it's written in the Word. It's promised. So we can celebrate it now. We can give thanks to God now. So what is a scriptural precedent? Doesn't it mean if they did it in the New Testament, you have a precedent and you can do it too? Right? Did God heal or deliver you? Give him praise, and the people will do the same. Luke 18:43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So you can share your testimonies and others with great faith. And Luke 19:37, and as he was now drawing nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice. Well, they got the attention of all those Jews around them for all the mighty works which they had seen. So shall we do the same? Romans 15:9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore will I give praise unto thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. Of course, that was the lost in that day, in that time, you know. So you can do that even among the lost. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and let all the people praise him. Let all the peoples praise him. Amen. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. Doesn't that mean even when your flesh doesn't want to do it? What are you sacrificing? The flesh, right? Let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of the lips which make confession to his name. Amen. James 5:13. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Amen. You are free. Revelation 19:5. And a voice came forth from the throne, saying, give praise to our God, all ye his servants, ye that fear him, the small and the great. So let's do it, right? Amen. Well, I'm going to share something else here. The vision. This is a vision of the power of praise. Matt Ezell, 9:9-22. I wanted to share a vision I had of Chuck sitting next to Matt Stewart. Well, this was interesting because I shared this dream in our next meeting, and this came to pass. After this dream, when we came together, Chuck and Matt were sitting together, which was not the usual seating arrangement. In fact, it was different than we'd had before. So when I shared this dream, everyone laughed because that's exactly how it happened. I couldn't tell the exact location, but they were up in the front leading worship. And this is talking of leading worship to the larger internet assembly. Chuck was plugging in a common wire to a capacitor, and then the vision ended. And Matt said, in the field of heating and air capacitors are used to give power to the compressor and fan of the air conditioning unit. And they give the initial boost for the compressor and the fan to start, because it takes more power when they start. And then they help them maintain that power so that it will continue to run. The common wire is what connects the capacitor to the main power source of the unit. I immediately understood what the Lord was saying, which is what he's been showing us. in that we would be greatly empowered through our worship of Him. And that's been happening. I sought a verse concerning this vision and got Psalm 105:24. He increaseth His people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. Praise the Lord. So today, if you will receive your salvation, healing, deliverance, and provision, claim it and speak it out of your mouth and praise Him for it, and you will have it, according to our Lord Jesus. Mark 11:23-24. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Amen. Thank you so much, saints, for being with us today. I pray that this will encourage you in the word and in praise and in worship. And thank you, Father, for blessing us today, Lord, with your word. Amen.